I'm Jessica.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you are listening to Pastor's Wives Tell All,
a podcast by pastor's wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to take a peek inside our glass house.
We are breaking down walls and crushing pastor's wives' stereotypes within the church.
We want pastor's wives and other ministry leaders to know that they are not alone in this. This is basically therapy for the three of us with a whole lot of dance parties. Hey friends, welcome back to Pastor's Wives Tell All. Today we are chatting with our friend Angela Buckland. Angela is the discipleship director at Bethlehem Church, wife to Ren, and mom to four grown children. She is passionate about helping people grow closer to Jesus and becoming more like him. She hosts the podcast Beyond Sunday at Bethlehem and enjoys reading, writing, running, and traveling with her family. In our discussion, Angela shares her story of church planting and the difficult season that followed. She shows us that God is faithful even when ministry life is difficult. He will sustain us through every circumstance. Now, let's get to this important conversation.
Hello, Angela. We are so excited that you are on the podcast today.
Yes. Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for having me.
We absolutely are so excited to have Angela because we actually got to meet you and come to your church, Bethlehem Church, which is absolutely, wow, like the spirit
Precious church.
The women are so just cool and so fun and so welcoming.
Thank you.
We got to go to a conference, your women's conference for the year. And it was the first one you had had in a couple of years, right?
It was actually the first women's conference that we have ever done. We've done some women's events, but never a full-on women's conference, 2 days, speakers, all the things. It was a blast.
Y'all nailed it.
You nailed it. And Angela, I know you had did a lot, and I know you had a great team like working with you. So we were just so grateful to be able to come and be a part of it with Raised to Stay, with Natalie. She invited us to come and hang out. So we just can't wait to get to know more about you today.
Well, thank you. Right. I was thrilled.
Can I just say I needed that weekend? Mm-hmm. Yes. It was so lovely. And hearing you speak as well, I think after that, we were all like, she's got to be on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's not very often that we get to just go and sit and be poured into. Mm-hmm. So that was really special for the three of us.
So
awesome. Well, thank you. Y'all are a blessing. I was thrilled when Natalie said that y'all were coming. So I was like, yes, heck yes, bring them. So I was so excited that y'all came. And so it was an honor to have y'all and meet you there. So thank you.
Well, we're excited today because now we actually get to have conversation with you and you're not running around crazy and putting on this amazing event. So can you just tell our listeners and tell us a little bit more about your family, ministry, and how you came to know Christ?
Well, so I'm Angela Buckland. I've been married to my husband, Ren, for it'll be 25 years in February. February in 2024. We'll celebrate our 25th anniversary, and then we have four kids. So they are ages 20 to 15. Wow. So I had four kids in 5 years, close together. Yeah. So that's a whole nother podcast. That's a
you're so a rock star.
I was going to say that very same thing. Yes. I'm just going to say jinx because it was in my head.
You get a gold star. You get a gold star.
Oh, man. So we now have adult children, and so two in college, two in high school. I work as a discipleship director at Bethlehem Church, which means I'm a part of a really amazing team. And you guys mentioned the team that it took to put on the conference. We have such a great team here. And I love it. I absolutely love what I do. Discipleship is my heart. It's my passion, seeing people grow in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so groups, whether that's through, taking next steps in their faith, jumping into scripture. I'm also in seminary school. So I love the word. I love people having a passion for the word. And just seeing people tap into all that is available in this new life in Christ that we have.
Yeah. That's amazing.
She's like a young Beth Moore,
right?
Kind of looks like her.
That's what I was like. Do we have the next Beth Moore on the screen? In front
the
of
next
us?
Beth Moore. Yes.
No way. No,
she said no kind. Way.
No. I love Beth. Beth is, yeah, she's amazing.
What about a little bit about your testimony?
So I did not grow up in church, and that is like part of why I do what I do. I did not grow up in church at all. My dad was raised Catholic. So when we went to church, it was mass. We were creasters, you know, Christmas mm-hmm. and Easter.
Yes.
So we attended sporadically, but we didn't have a relationship with God. And mm-hmm. so when I kind of graduated from high school, and already I'd already started to kind of go, you know, off the deep end a little bit. But once I graduated high school, I was like, freedom, I'm going to college, I'm going off to, you know, kind of discover who I was. And that's when I met Christ face to face. I was 19 years old. I had one plan and he had another. So I love college age. I love that age so much, because I think there's a lot of fear when you're sending mm-hmm. your kids out into the world. There's a lot of fear about sending your kids to college, but that's also one of the greatest opportunities that they have to kind of pull away from home, from the safety of home, but then, you know, go step out into the deep waters of who God is. And so that's that. I met Jesus when I was 19. And I've never been the same ever since.
Mm-hmm. So, I love the college age too. Yeah. So I've just started working more with our college age. I am helping them walk through Bible study on Wednesday nights.
Yes.
And it has been just the most fun thing in my life right now. Yeah. I love them. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, they decided they all wanted to go to the movies on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then they're like, "You want to come?" I'm like, "Yes, I do." Yes. So here I am bebopping into the
Don't
movie
you feel
theater
so cool?
with the college kids. Yes. But I love how much they want to like learn
yeah.
and grow and really take those next steps. And I think a lot of people have this bad mindset about the generation.
Yeah.
That's coming up. And I'm thinking, no,
yeah.
they are
yes.
yearning for more. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. want to know more than yeah. generations past. I feel like, yep. I feel like they're yes. hungry for it. They want yeah. to understand the Bible. Like when yes. I say we're doing Bible study, we're not doing a book Bible study. Literally, they are going through the book of James right now, verse right. by verse, chapter by chapter, and discussing it each week and talking about the things they've learned and what they looked up. And then we're just guiding. I'm just guiding them. I'm not even doing much. Yeah. Like yes. they are studying the word. And I see that and I go, man, I wish some of the older generations could get what they've got. Mm-hmm. There's yes. something about that yeah. age. Like you just want to know things.
Yeah. Yes. And I love, so that one of the things I love what you ladies do is tapping into that, just the vulnerability and the transparency. That's what they're hungry for. They want to yeah. see mm-hmm. people that are real. They yeah. want to see people that are transparent about their faith. Mm-hmm. They don't want the glossed over, you know, pretty pictures.
They're being fed that mm-hmm. in front of their
the
face
world.
Every single
yes.
day by the world on social
yes.
media, Instagram,
right.
all the things. So yeah, they're yeah. hungry for it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Man, love it. Love this conversation yes. so far, even though we haven't even gotten to your story yet. But yes to that
Sorry.
College age.
Yes.
But you had mentioned just recently to us, which I did not know this, that you and your husband were a part of a church plant. At some
yes.
point. I find that fascinating because that seems like a lot.
Yes.
So I just want you to tell us a little bit about that, how you were called to that, a little bit of that story.
So I got saved when I was 19, got married when I was 22. So I was just like, I was young and fresh faced. And I just, all I wanted to do was tell the world about Jesus and how he had changed my life. And so kind of long story short, the church that I got saved at, the pastor kind of transitioned into another job for a little while and was in kind of in the workforce, secular workforce, moved out of ministry, went to work for Microsoft. And then he felt that call. Once you have that call, I don't know that it ever, like, you just can't escape it. God chases right. you down. Mm-hmm. And so he felt that call to go back into ministry. And my husband and I were like, sign us up. We're ready. We want to help. We want to help plant this church with you. So, so he was the pastor, our friend, Tony. And then we helped, we were kind of a part of this core team of about six people. So it was like, when we talk about church plant, it was like scrappy. We had nothing. We had no, no denominational backing or funding. It was just us. Mm-hmm. And it was, kind of wild. But we felt that just the passion to get, you know, get this church back, upstarted and it's still going, still thriving.
Yeah.
So,
sounds like the New Testament. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it was crappy back then.
exactly. Just like that Book of Acts. So we threw everything that we had. It was a really challenging time. We didn't have any kind of rule books or guides back then. This was late 90s, early 2000s. And we were just kind of, I always say that leadership is like, it's really a lot of intuition or gut, going with your gut and shooting from the hip. Mm-hmm. And we like to pretend that leadership a lot of times it's like, oh, do this, this, and this. A lot of times leaders don't know what they're doing.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. And that's what leadership is. Leadership is you're boldly going where no one has gone before. And you know, that's kind of what we were doing. And then also my husband was building a business. So my husband is very entrepreneurial and we have that, you know, just like, okay, let's just try things. Let's start things.
Yeah.
So he was building his business. We were planning a church. And we were also, we had, like I mentioned earlier, had four kids in 5 years. So there was maybe not a lot of wisdom in there. So, but yeah, so we started that church. We were there for about 10 years. And then we felt the call. We were living in three different counties. We were living in one county, working in another, and going to church. And so it was, we were spread out really thin.
Yeah.
So then we felt the call to come to Bethlehem, which is in our community. We really wanted to dig deeper roots in the community that we lived in. So that's how we ended up here. And we were just members here at the time. And then I joined the staff in 2020.
Okay.
So, wow.
So after the church planting happened, things really took a turn for you and your family, correct?
Yes.
And you entered into a very trying time. In your, in yours and your family's life. Can you tell us a little about that and what happened?
Sure. I think part of that was we were kind of Lone Ranger Christians. Mm-hmm. In that we thought we understood the power of community. We thought we knew what we were doing. We thought we understood all of that, but then we really tried to do a lot of stuff on our own. And a part of it is like that, I'm strong. We got this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of mentality. But we really, I crashed and burned really hard. And it was about, 2013, 2014, where we were like, okay, we are doing too much. We need to be plugged in instead of constantly pouring out, which is what we were doing.
Yeah.
We were pouring out into our business, pouring out into, into our church plant, pouring out into our family, raising four small kids. We tapped out. So we burned out and it really, my husband's kind of, he's pretty steadfast and he can just keep going. I'm not like that. So I'm wired a little differently. And so I had to really just take time for myself and the Lord and just get back to my roots about who am I in Christ? What is my identity? It's not doing, but it's being his daughter. Yes. So that's so I had to really take some time off and just rest and soak and not serve for a little while. I know that sounds a little, a little scandalous, but just taking time to heal and rest.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I think therapy. Lots of therapy.
Preach. Hey, friend. We will get right back to our episode, but we want to take a moment and thank our patrons. You guys keep our podcast going.
If you are not a patron and you would like to consider donating to our podcast ministry, we would be so grateful. And we might even do a happy dance.
When you become a patron, you get perks like being the first to hear about special info and retreats. You get bonus episodes, monthly devotionals, lock screens, and more.
Plus, we have added a new $1 tier for those who believe in us and what we're doing, just because you love us.
So head on over to our show notes and click on the Patreon link to learn more. Now let's get back to our episode.
Well, what you're talking about is what so many women and men go through every day. You know, so I think it's so good that we're talking about this, because I was just DMing a lady last night, and she, you know, just telling her it's okay to rest and not jump right back in to serving. I think that people need to hear that and have permission. And I think we have to, as staff of church and ministry leaders, give people permission, because they're going to feel like they have to, that I've got to keep going, that I've got to keep striving. But that's truly, like you just said, that's not what the Lord wants. He just wants you to be with Him. Mm-hmm. So in this time, this season for you, you know, first of all, tell us how long that lasts, that season. But then what sustains you through this season? What scriptures, what stopped you from quitting? And I know you've kind of shared, but maybe give us a little bit more detail of how that went, because I really think this will be very helpful for a lot of people.
Part of that was finding a biblical community that was really healthy and seeing it modeled, because I don't know that we had ever really seen it like modeled for us, but diving into getting plugged into the church where we are now, and not feeling, they knew our background. They knew, oh, they're church planters. And I mean, I don't know, like when you see somebody in a church setting, you're like, oh, they have talent, they have gifts, they have this, they have callings, let's get them plugged in right away. And the leadership here knew that about my husband and I, but they didn't, they gave us time. They were like, they need to
Healthy.
Yes. And that is where we started. It was like, we felt loved for who we were, and not what we could give them, and not what we could produce, not what we could pour out. And there's never been this sense of like desperation, where we are now. Like, that God is huge. The kingdom is big. And He can take care of all of us. And so there's not this like desperation that says like, oh, we need you. We need you to jump in and serve and pour out and all this stuff. So I think part of that healing process, we just plugged into a really good, healthy church.
Good.
And it's a huge difference.
It does. It does. And Jessica, you mentioned the scripture, like, was there a scripture that really stuck out? One that, like, Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that is, I lived that. Like, when I felt too weak to even pull myself up off the floor some days, and I had these four little ones that needed me, a husband that needed me, and all these things, and I felt like, God, I cannot do this on my own. I needed Him. So just walking that verse, and I would remember it every day, and the Holy Spirit would bring it to my mind every single day. So Isaiah 41:10, it was just, it became life to me.
That's amazing. Angela, I feel like all of this is just a testament to how God sustains us, even when things are really difficult. And I love that you leaned into that scripture, because sometimes we can get so blinded by our situation and just not even go to Him. Because sometimes I can feel like, and then I'm going, He's right there. He can sustain me. He can hold me. He can keep me here. And I guess I want to know, why did you stay ultimately? Was it just because of that leaning into Him in that scripture? Is there more to it? What do people need to know? Why is it so important for them to stay even when it's hard? And how do you know when it's time to move on? Like, what signs did you have from the Lord? How did you know that it was time? Do we stay? Do we go? Like, these are all questions that I think our listeners would have.
That's a great question. I felt like I was at a crossroads, and it was either, I'm either a believer, I'm either a Christ follower, or I'm not. I mean, it got to that point. It got to that point where I either believe what I say that I believe, or I'm totally turning and walking the other direction. This faith, this scripture, God, he either is who he says he is, or it's not real. So I got to that point. And I have to say, my husband, this is why it's so important that you know, we marry a believer and we're equally yoked. Like I was at my weakest point, and his faith just never wavered. Again, that's that steadfastness in him that is just a quality that I really admire. But his steadfastness and his, like, I'm here and I'm here for you and I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here. I love Jesus. Even though you might not feel that way right now, here's where I'm going to be, and I'm here with you and I'm not going anywhere. So it was almost a portrait, seeing that in him, modeled in him. It was almost like a tangible, oh, this is how Jesus is. This is how he loves us, that I can act like a brat, or I can feel like a big, you know, jerk. And he's not going anywhere. He loves us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And then just, again, seeing that modeled in biblical community, in the church that we attended, in my husband, in people that loved us. So I kind of, like, you know, the scripture where the disciples, they turn to Jesus and they're like, where else are we going to go? Yeah. that was where I felt. That's exactly how I felt. Like, where else am I going to go? And I decided to press in. I think that's where a lot of times when we get to those points, and I don't think we talk about it enough as believers, like, we get to these points where, like, God, I don't know if you're real. I don't know. I've done all the things and I still feel empty. I don't know what else to do. But then we press in, pressing into him, not church, not everything, not the things or the ministry, but pressing into Jesus. And that is what I did. For, you know, that, I mean, that was all I the only thing that I can say that I did right, I guess. But pressing into him and getting to know his heart, that's what kept me. That's what kept me from going.
That's so good. Because you're right. A lot of us, when we get to that place, and I have 100% been there. My husband has as well. And I think in those seasons, it was either one or the other. So it made it, you know, easier for us to get through it, because one of us remained strong for the other. But you're right. It's a crossroads, and you have to choose whether or not you're going to press in or you're going back out.
Yeah.
So that's so, so, so good. Angela, you've given so much advice, and I think that so many people are going to listen to this and gain so much wisdom from it. But is there anything else that you would say to somebody who might be going through a similar situation like that? Maybe they're at a crossroads and they're thinking about just throwing in the towel.
Yeah.
When they know that God's called them to something.
I remember hearing, so I'm remembering this message, a sermon that I heard years ago. Craig Groeschel taught it, and he was talking about, it was a book called The Dip. And I think it's a Seth Godin book, but he's talking about every business, every church, every relationship experiences a dip. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's that point where things are great, and then all of a sudden they're not. Mm-hmm. Things are great until they're not. And that's life. And everything is going to experience that. And at that point, it's that crossroads that we're talking about. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? And I would just say, press into Jesus. Press into, like, block everything else out that's a distraction. I mean, obviously you can't, you know, block your family out. You gotta love them and serve them, and they're wonderful. But, like, prioritize your relationship with him. At the end of the day, that is all it's about. Mm-hmm. Chase after him, chase after Jesus. He is worthy. He is real. And just that, do whatever you have to do to get to know him and his heart and his love. Because I think, you know, when we think about all the characters in the Bible, I'm thinking about Jacob and the wrestling. Mm-hmm. He was chasing after all of these other things to mm-hmm. find his identity. And ultimately, God had to, you know, kind of break his hip. And, yeah. and there was this wrestling with God. And that's it's a really kind of violent but beautiful portrait of how seriously we are to take our relationship with him.
Yeah.
And it's all about that.
Yeah. The end. Amen.
It's so good.
Thanks, girl. I feel like we just went to church this morning. Angela, we've learned so much. Just like Jenna said, like this is chock full, this interview of just good wisdom for people, for us to hear. Mm-hmm. So thank you just for sharing with us. But before we end, yeah. we, of course, love to ask three questions to our pastor wives and ministry leaders when they come on the show. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Okay. Remember, it's tell all. Okay. Here we go. If you could go back and give your pre-pastor or ministry leader self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Have confidence in who God created you to be. Mm-hmm. Don't compare yourself to others. Be uniquely you. God created you for a purpose, and you are his child. You're his daughter. Lead with confidence. Don't worry about, don't worry so much about being liked. Just lead, lead with confidence, lead in who you know God has called you to be.
So Preach. After you go back and tell yourself that, can you go back and tell my pre-pastors myself that?
Because I got to tell myself I went through that. Every day. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I want to be liked. I want people to love me. And yes. if they don't, I fall apart. Or yes. I'm a lot better now than what I used yeah. to be, but yeah. it was bad. And there was no confidence. And I thought everything was wrong with me mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of just leaning into who God created me to be. So that's, yes. that spoke to me. I'll just yeah. tell you.
Yay. Well, good. I think, yes. I think as women, we're relationship yes. yeah. based, you know, we thrive in relationship. It's a lot of part where we get our identity. But yeah, so, and that is, it's relationship with Jesus first yes. and everybody else. So.
And that's where yes. I think I got things real mixed up.
We all do it. It's easy to do.
Yeah. All right, Angela, something fun now. Okay. What do you do for fun, either by yourself or with your spouse, to get your mind off of all those ministry things?
Okay, so y'all are going to think I'm psycho, but I'm a runner. I love to run.
I don't think that's psycho.
Okay, good.
I like to run too.
Yay. Because when I tell people that, they're like, run. I only run if something's chasing me. You know, you hear all that.
That's Jenna.
That's me.
It is a stress release. I have a group of women. Y'all would love them. They're just a group of, like, we just cheer each other on. We're all running the Kiowa half marathon in like less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we've been training for that. And it's just, it is like a small group. We have this small group of women and we run together. We try to, you know, align our schedules where we get to do runs throughout the week. So we're doing that. And yeah, so running is.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
It's fun.
Guys, you want to start a running group with me?
Yes. No. As long as you start a boxing group with me.
And a weightlifting group with me.
Okay.
I'd
rather burn my calories lifting and doing HIIT and then running.
Yeah. Or dancing.
Yeah. Or dancing. 100 okay.
hours.
Yeah, so I think I may have to move to where Bethlehem Church is so that therefore I can have a running group.
Come join our running group, Stephanie. We'd love it. We'd love to have you.
I'll just drive over a couple hours every day. It's fine.
Just going to run today with my friends in Bethlehem. There you go.
We're following
6:30 in the morning. Yeah.
We're following the star.
Oh my heavens.
You're welcome.
Okay, Angela. On that note, we're gonna go to your last and final question. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Bring it.
Stephanie. All right, Angela, question number three. If you could tell the church congregation one thing without reservation and have them really listen and respond, what would you say?
I think it's kind of what I would tell myself, my pre-pastor, pre-ministry self, that you have a purpose. You have a unique purpose. You are called and created and commissioned to lead. I think a lot of times we don't see ourselves as leaders, but we were created to lead. We were created to, serve others through our leadership and just have confidence in that. And just calling out those, those abilities and that confidence to lead in others.
I think that's good because mm-hmm. a lot of times church members just see the staff as the ones that yes. lead and that they're called, but everyone is called, and our churches would be thriving if yeah. everyone believed that
100%.
And everybody stepped up to yeah. do Preach. Something.
Yeah. Yep. And we are a royal priesthood. Mm-hmm. The scripture says we are. Exactly what you just said, Stephanie. I love it.
Yeah. So good. Well, Angela, thank you so much for just being on our episode today. Thank you. This was so good.
Thank you amazing. For having me.
So much wisdom.
Yes, I love you so much.
I know.
Love y'all. I love you. It was so good to see you guys.
So good
again.
To see your face again.
Yes.
Yeah. Just make this a annual thing so we can
we
see
should.
Her.
Yes. 100%.
And maybe, we'll have a I'm women's down. Conference.
Also, again. Let us know when the next women's conference is so we can get tickets.
Oh, yeah. We will come.
Yes. Love y'all so much. Thank you. Thank you for this time.
Yes. Okay. Well, until next time, guys.
Bye.
Okay, friends. If you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please help us spread the word on Facebook and Instagram.
If you didn't know yet, Instagram is where all the fun is at. From dance reels on Wednesdays to spiritual encouragement and laugh out loud posts in between, there is something for everyone.
And last but certainly not least, if you could take a moment right now to stop what you're doing and give us a rating and review, even subscribe to our podcast, this seriously helps other people find us who wouldn't be able to otherwise. Thank you so much for your love and support. We hope you'll tune in next week.